The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 402. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing? How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Monjoma.
Unlike Liz, I'm happy to see Bonnie go.
Oh, man. Oh, we're going to be talking about that in a bit. Before we start, though, I want to give a shout-out to Torrance and Hip Hop, who gave us a very memorable episode 401 of Throwdown. You know, the beautiful thing about those shows is just let those two guys go. You get a whole show. You don't have to anything. That's
why I called it the Throwdown episode of, a Warzone episode 400.5.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. So if you missed the Warzone, listen to last week's episode of Throwdown, you know? It's been cool, but, like, because after that, now I'm texting with Torrance more, now that I know what's up. He even called me yesterday. I got a full-out rantosaurus on the phone yesterday. He's still mad at hip-hop for, accepting, $70 Last of Us. He's like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? These fucking poets drive me mad.
Torrance is passionate. I'm in his corner 90% of the time.
Oh, yeah. I agree. With when it comes to The Last of Us $70 and the remake in general, yeah, I'm with him 100% on that, you know. But if you want to hear our thoughts, check out the last episode, you know. But we're here with another week, and this week actually stuff happened.
Real quick.
What's up?
Can I just point out that Torrance did what, like, every action movie star does, like, in retirement? They just went off and started fishing. He's like, I'm going to retire. Fuck this shit. I'm going to just spend my days.
This is true.
He pulled the Danny Glover. That's what it was.
Exactly.
He's getting too old for this shit. What do you do? He got a boat. he's fishing with Mel Gibson.
Yeah. And he's apparently being very successful. He's, like, running the social media for the fishing company he works for, and they're doing well. So, guy, you could tell Torrance was genuinely happy. You know,
dude's living his best life.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know,
going to what do you go to, the Bahamas or one of those places?
Yeah, he went to the Bahamas. He was chilling. You know, so good for him, man. Shout out to Torrance, man. All right, so yeah, stuff happened this week. A couple of showcases. TGS is currently going on right now. So yeah, we got a lot to cover here. Full disclosure, though, I haven't seen most of this stuff directly because I've been working. Remember, I'm not a full-on gaming journalist. I thought I covered some gaming stuff, but that's not my beat, so I missed a lot of this stuff. And then today I was busy with the moving stuff, so I didn't see any of this now. So some of this will be a surprise to me as well, you know?
So does that mean we... Hey, Carlos, can we run some of that stuff on here?
Just for the hell of it? Let me see what I can do.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to kick things off with the PlayStation Showcase. The PlayStation play. Now, this was another thing. Who was it? Carlos, did you predict it?
Yeah. Well, I predict stuff every week, but this is I didn't predict it, but I said, isn't there like a State of Play coming up like pretty soon or something?
Yeah, because there was rumors. There's rumors every week about a new State of Play, it seems. So I just dismissed it, but at the same time, if you're going to have one, September would be the time to do it, you know?
Yes.
You just missed the source.
Right before the holiday season. Of course it would be.
Yeah, Brett, that's what it was. I just missed the source. I think it was a YouTuber. Anytime it's a YouTuber as a source, I instantly...
There's a rumor!
You said you knew who they were, and they were, you didn't say that they were Notorious Unruh, but you said, like, they'd made predictions before that fell through, so, like, their batting average isn't where it should be enough for us to speculate.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, we got some rumors about a new PlayStation.
It's kind of a Final Fantasy remake situation. Like, there was news on it every month for, like, 9 years, and then one fucking time I guessed it, and the next show, like, they announced it. Same fucking deal.
It's like it's like the boy who cries wolf. You know, you're wrong most of the time, and then at one moment that you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just want to point out that one moment is when the people on this panel make predictions.
See, like, you know, when Carlos did it, he made that speculation or that guess, and boom, literally the day and the next day. So.
Yeah, I was, because for me, I don't know if I saw it or I dreamt it, because I even said it during the show. I'm like, did I even dream this? Because I could have sworn there's like a state of play going on.
Either that or you can see into the future.
Glitch in the Matrix. That is
possible.
Yeah.
It could be. This is a simulation.
I mean, you are a coder. You can read the code.
I do have the ways of the warrior.
All right, man. So let's get into it. So I'm reading this stuff off of... digitallydownloaded.net. Never heard of this place. So if they're missing anything, blame it on them. But I think it was like 10 games they showed. I think they got them all here. Let's run down the list here. So we got a new trailer for Tekken 8. Brian, I'm going straight to you since you're our Tekken expert here. What did you think if you saw the trailer?
Looks legit. I just like could not stop staring at Kazuya's sweat the whole time. Like, damn, you can see him sweat. Yeah, it looks really good. Like, lighting seems like they really put some effort into it. So, yep, I'm in.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I'm watching a trailer now. Yeah, it looks good, you know.
I mean, it was a CG trailer, wasn't it? It was just Kazuya and Jin beating the shit out of each other.
Can't tell.
It seemed like it was, like, a weird mix, because with Tekken 7, they introduced this system where it slows down if two attacks might hit, but they slightly miss. So it kind of looks like a cutscene. So if that was CG, then they went like a lot out of the way to make it look like gameplay in the terms of like when they attack each other and whatnot. So I think it could be gameplay.
Yeah, or at least in engine, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it. It looks good, you know? But you only see these two characters. You don't see the rest of the roster here.
No, you just see those two.
Yeah, then again, it's an announcement trailer, so you're not going to get too much.
No.
Well, it's like the core characters, like the flagship characters, if you wish. So, yeah, does
the legacy
does the job.
Yeah, good stuff. Yep. All right.
It does kind of hint at Devil Jin, so possibly that's a side announcement, if you wish. So that's cool.
Is Akuma going to be back?
Probably not.
Akuma, and what was his face? Geese from the Fatal Fury games.
Yeah, man, that is running at like 10 frames a second. Carlos.
Yeah, this is really bad. Yeah, I'm gonna stop it.
Yeah, just stop that. That looks terrible.
I mean, it looked okay on this side.
Nah, it was pretty bad. All right. Next up, we have Star Wars: Tales of the Galaxy's Edge Enhanced Edition. The fuck is this?
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Announced trailer. The little cat. What the fuck is this? Is this like an amusement park ride or something?
The Galaxy's Edge is the amusement park.
So what the hell is this?
I don't know.
It says captured with PS5.
It's probably just a tie-in to the park expansion that Disney made in Hollywood Studios.
I think this is a VR game.
Yeah, it is a VR game.
When I saw the floating hands, I'm like, oh, that's a VR game. That's like a telltale sign of VR, you know?
They'll probably have the locations from the park, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever it is.
Batu, so I'm guessing this is like PSVR 2 then, right?
Yeah. Yep, they announced PSVR 2.
Okay,
cool. And it's slated to...
I mean, that's probably a good segue to jump.
What happened?
I mean, it's probably a good segue to jump and talk about the PSVR 2.
Sure, if you want. Did they show anything for PSVR 2?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett. Yep. Fill me in.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm reading as you, but like... as I'm catching up, PSVR 2, aside from the new DualSense Edge controller, the next big hardware launch for PlayStation is the PSVR 2. It's currently without a release date, but we know it's going to feature dual 4K HDR displays, eye tracking, headset feedback, 3D audio, and a single cable connection for the headset itself.
Let's go.
That's combined with new Sense controllers featuring orb designs, finger touch detection, adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, and more.
Does it also come with a duster to dust it off when it
pretty much
there's some games for it?
it basically looks like the other ones now, where it's got, you know, kind of the rounded handset that you hold and the single plug.
You didn't hear what I said, Brett. It's all good.
Yeah, no, it's no, man. You live with the dust, all right?
You live with the dust.
You live with the dust. If you try and wipe it off, you might scratch the lens. So. you know, it's just a danger you learn to live with. Or you blow on it like an old NES cartridge. But, I mean, yeah, that's cool. I mean, a lot of us are sitting here with the PSVR 1 being like, what's up, bro?
Sell it off. Sell it off so you can use the money to buy the new one.
Here's the deal. I think VR is in a place right now where we've proven the technology, right? Like, we talked years ago about, like, how this has to be proven to actually be a thing. Everybody knows somebody, at least I assume everybody knows somebody at this point that's, like, a weird VR junkie. And they're like, oh, dude, you gotta go home. We're gonna play VR. Like,
I know you.
I know, like, six people that, like, they don't even video game, but they have, a whole VR Oculus setup kind of thing. Like, they just transition straight from, like, consoles and PC gaming directly into VR. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And
the only VR person I know is you. And remember, I'm in the industry with a bunch of people. You're the only guy I know.
Well, I think I wouldn't even consider Brett a VR person. He's just
he's more than the people I know. Trust me.
Brett is a VR trooper. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like everybody else, including myself, dismisses it completely. So that's hard. That Brett is as hardcore as I'm going to find. You know?
Yeah, and I'm only one leg in. Like, they really need a killer app, is what they need. VR needs a killer app, and it's been. Ironically enough, when we're talking about, like, computers and consoles needing more power, that's secretly the whole thing that's going on in VR. Like, they're going through all of the growing pains and evolutions of trying to make things shiny all over again, right? Like, we're at a point in consoles and PC gaming where we're like, we can't make shit shinier. We just can't. Meanwhile, they took three steps backwards because they're having to deal with all the processing power of actually being in VR, and they're trying to make things smooth and shiny again. And it's kind of getting to that point now. I'll be honest, I don't know if the PS5 has the horsepower to do what a VR headset should do. You still need a high-end PC to do a lot of that shit. And I don't know that we're there yet. But we need to get to that point and then show a killer app. And that's going to be really tough because we've talked about before, like, how the fuck do you a commercial for a VR game?
Yeah, it's tough to sell because you need to actually experience it.
But I'm also convinced that those of us that don't adopt it will eventually be old men who don't understand the industry anymore.
Hmm.
Right? Like, you got to evolve. You got to change with the industry. I think that it's going to be a legitimate thing, especially with people like I guarantee if there's a fucking 8-year-old out there with VR right now, that shit's becoming a lifelong thing. Right? Like, you give a kid VR, that shit is over.
That's happening to my nephew. The other day I saw him and he was playing VR the whole freaking day. He was just chilling, moving his freaking hands like he was shooting stuff or slashing stuff. And I'm like, I'm looking at him and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look like something that I would want to do. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it just seems like, I don't know. It seems like something that takes a lot more energy to get, you know, excited for.
Yeah. No, but the weird thing is, like, I remember my dad, when it went to, like, I think it was Super Nintendo or PlayStation, when the controller got more buttons, he just went, yeah, I'm out. Right? Like, and I it's interesting because I'm starting to hear some of the same stuff with some of the older gamers. Like, I just don't understand video games anymore. And the sad thing to me is I hear a lot of people kind of my age being like, yeah, I'm just not playing video games anymore. And it's kind of become this weird crisis in my world. Like, are people giving up video games or is there just nothing there to impress them? Do we need to evolve, or do we just need to do what we're doing better?
Or we need to just accept mediocrity.
I mean, that's the worst choice, but sure.
That seems like what people are doing in general. But
I feel we come from a place where there's so many. We come from an era where we got to see everything grow to the point of, like, you know, a crazy point. You know, literally, you know, defined all most in our generation. Mostly all the video games that are define the industry were all created in our lifetime. Now we're like, it's almost like we're just at a point where we're just at a line. It's just going forward. It's not getting higher or lower. It's just about the same level.
No, but if history is any indication, things will change. I don't know what that change is going to be. Maybe it already is, like service games and Fortnite and shit. Maybe it's going to be VR. Like, it's weird. I see a disconnect with, especially, you know, I'll use Tony as an example, but he's a poor example. People who are just like, you know, it's just not for me. I'm just not going to take that jump. And they'll never, you, it's, you know, kind of like, again, this is a poor example, trying to get your grandpa to go to a 3D movie with you. Like, they're just not going to do it.
Yeah, it's I am a poor example because I've tried all the major VR headsets. I'm like, yeah, this is not for me. I'm good. You know,
but the thing,
my thing is like, it's not that I haven't tried it. I'm being ignorant. I've tried it all. I don't like it. It's just like indie games. Most of the games I've reviewed in my career have been indie games. I still don't care for indie games. I'm not wired that way. You know,
I think it's more akin to saying I don't play first person games, which I think eventually becomes a little self-limiting.
Yeah, but if you have preferences.
No, you do, but like that. Can you imagine a gamer now? And there are some of them, but like, you know, gamers that go, I don't play first person. I only play third person games. I don't like anything in first person.
Yeah, there's people like that.
When any of us other people hear that, we kind of immediately go in our head like, you're doing yourself a disservice, bro.
I don't like first person.
Yeah, games. I don't like them either. I had to force myself to.
I'm not a big fan of first person games either. I was telling you. I would love Cyberpunk so much more if it was in third person, but if I weren't willing to play it, I'd be missing out on portions of a good game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Let's get back on track here. Okay. All right, next up here, this game called, I don't know how to say this, either Carlos. I want to say Dimelo, you know?
Dimelo. Daimyo.
Dimyo. Yeah, oh, Dimyo, all right. But literally, Carlos, when I first saw my Dimelo, you know? this tabletop RPG is another VR game, basically. All right, what do we look at? Tabletop RPG VR game.
That seems like a unnecessary thing.
Yeah, you're adding an extra step to it, basically.
I mean, if this is like a middle thing to like allow people to play tabletop D&D and whatnot, sure, but if you're doing the same thing they do with fucking card games, just jamming them into video games for no unnecessary reason, you can go fuck yourself.
That's what it kind of, I mean, look at the trailer and the link, but that's what it kind of looks like. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. All right, move on. Like a Dragon Ishin. So this is the Yakuza Samurai game. It's finally
should have made.
Not only is it finally coming to the West, but it's like a full-on remake, right, with the Dragon Engine. But here's what interesting thing with this and the other Yakuza announcement. They're not calling them Yakuza anymore. They're just a Dragon.
I mean, I think that what they're trying to do is that they're also trying to separate it from the main Yakuza one.
All
of them. Yeah, like a Dragon is everything now.
Yeah, because the Yakuza 8, right? They're not calling it Yakuza 8. They're calling it like a Dragon 8.
Yeah, like a Dragon 8.
Yeah, I mean, they finally made the finally. Wasn't the last one called? Was it called?
It was called Yakuza like a Dragon.
Yakuza, so you know what they're doing. You know what they're doing. They're essentially removing the Western localization of that. So now they're like Dragon games.
Yeah, they're like a Dragon game.
Just getting rid of Yakuza. They probably don't want that connection anymore.
Could be. You know. But anyway, there you go. This is dope. You know, that's very good stuff.
There's three of those titles
and the Lost Judgment now is on PC. I thought it was always on PC, and I have a buddy big PC fan, and he's like, I can't wait to play this. I'm like, I reviewed that a while. That's old. He's like, no, it's not old. And then he had to wake me up to that. It's like, I didn't know that.
They should have did it years ago.
I want to check this out. If it's Yakuza just in samurai times, should be.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Good stuff. All right. Next up, we got Hogwarts Legacy. There's no trailer here. I don't know why. Pacific.
Weirdly, I don't even like Harry Potter, but I'm kind of interested in that game.
It's because the graphics look really good. Even I said that during the show.
It looks very nice.
Yeah, we're like, why? Like, this game looks fucking dope. Even though I don't care about it. I've never seen the movies, never read the books, don't know anything about Harry Potter, but that game looks kind of cool. Not going to lie. You know, but we'll see. Anyway, next up here we have Pacific Drive. This first-person driving survival game is set in the Pacific Northwest of the USA. It's just for you. It's just you and your car traveling deep into a surreal place that's been abandoned for decades. Basically, it looks like a driving horror game where you need to survive a ride from hell. Pacific Drive will be released on PlayStation 5 2023. PlayStation 5, would we?
I mean, sounds different.
Well, yeah. It looks cool. I don't know. It's like he's driving a beat up station wagon, whoever your character is, but the inside has all this technology in it.
Interesting.
I was like, that's pretty interesting. And then you have to like stop and fix your car or get supplies. And then meanwhile, it seems like reality's all fucked up. Like if it rains, like he has a little meter that goes off telling him it's too dangerous. And then you have to get in your car and try to leave the area before you get fucked up by something.
Interesting. I'm looking at this now.
Our horror game.
Yeah.
Why not?
There you go.
Yeah, there was like saw blades coming out of the road. It looked like a nightmare, like while you're driving.
Yeah, this looks pretty crazy.
We'll call it Carrer.
Carrer.
By the way, I should say the Yakuza games, both of them, are also on PS4.
Of course they are.
Like a Dragon, it literally said PS4 2024. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? You know?
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, man.
You want to extend that thing? Extend that, get as many people as possible.
I guess the few people.
I mean, come on. Those Yakuza games are not like graphical showcases. Why are you going to lock that game down to a PlayStation 5? Unless they're blowing people away with those graphics.
Yeah, that kind of shows you probably the game world's going to be exact same size and all that. All right. But, you know, it is what it is. Next up, we have this game called Sin Duality. This new dystopian journey follows the player alongside the AR partner, explore the post-apocalyptic world, compete for resources, avoid rain. The fuck is
everybody's avoiding rain now? What is this?
Yeah it's like rain is bad.
Rain is bad.
I think everybody just watched too much Signs, you know. It's like
either that or playing too much Death Stranding, where the rain literally instantly ages everything.
Okay, so what is this, a mech game?
Yeah, it looks like it's a mech game.
Well, it's like Mech Souls with resource management.
Oh, is that what it is? Mech Souls?
Yeah, because the girl you're playing, she starts fighting these monsters. They look like nightmares, and it's like, oh, but you're in a giant, mech
robot,
suit fighting them.
Interesting.
I don't know if it has co-op, because I saw it was one part of the trailer where there was multiple mechs fighting the same monster, like a boss. And I was like, oh, is there co-op in here?
All right, who made this game?
Who?
It's a Japanese
game company. Yeah.
I don't know. Who made this? can I get the developer here, please? I'm watching a trailer, so I'm just waiting on this. Like, I'm assuming they're gonna give me the name of the developer at the end.
No, I checked the trailer too. I don't see any developer or anything, publisher.
All right, well, too bad. All right, move
it's
on here.
By Publisher Soft.
Stellar Blade, Permanently Project E. That sounds familiar. Project Eve.
Project Eve does sound familiar.
Yeah, Project Eve. You guys talked about it, and you said that it looks nice. It's like that cross, like that.
Is that the one with the girl with the well-endowed booty?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I am very surprised that Sony actually showed this game, given how the main character shows off her shoulders.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little too much right now, Brian.
I know, right?
I see like her
shoulders in 2022. Yeah. Jesus,
I can see her figure.
As long as she doesn't go running into the water like a beach or whatever.
I remember when we first watched the trailer for this one, we were like, "Hey, look, Western games don't have women like that anymore." You know, this looks cool. It's like Bayonetta, Devil May Cry type of game.
Yeah, it's not the one. It's by the Chinese studio, right?
Or Korean, not sure.
Korean studio.
The Korean studio.
Cool. Yeah, this game looks dope. You got it.
No, I have to say, this is what Bayonetta 3 should look like.
You know.
Yeah.
So they keep putting it on. They keep putting it on that giant Game Boy that the Nintendo's got.
Yeah. There's another game we're gonna talk about that's tethered to old technology. You know. Mm. All right. This looks cool. Rise of the Ronin. What is this?
I was gonna say. I thought you were gonna say Rise of the Rona. I'm like, oh no, not again.
The game.
Okay, now
it's Team Ninja.
Find an M5 mask.
Yeah. this is a Koei Tecmo game set in Japan. A lot of Japan games now. Even Ubisoft's getting in on that. You know. Oh, this is a console exclusive. Interesting.
Didn't Microsoft buy Team Ninja?
No.
No. Ninja Theory.
Ninja Theory.
My bad.
Yeah. So this is a PS5 exclusive. Wait, didn't we see this already? This is the Samurai Souls, right?
Or it looks familiar. A lot of people sounded really surprised when on Twitter when it came out. But For me, I thought I was like, did we see this before? Because Team Ninja, they released something like the last year or something. That's right. Like not they showed something.
Yo, that part where he jumps off the building and starts hang gliding, that's like fucking Assassin's Creed right there. Remember the Ezio trilogy? You did that shit.
So, by the way, the Project Eve game, that's a Korean studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Rise of the Ronin looks cool too.
So, like, are we just all making Ghost of Tsushima games now? Yes. Or?
Well, every game's apparently now.
because it took a Western company for Japan to realize, oh yeah, we can make those games instead of these.
Right? You guys like Samurai? We got Samurai.
Well, you know, remember that because if you remember the excuse that the creator of Yakuza said was that, oh yeah, you know, it's possibly a two Japanese the Samurai game is too Japanese for Western audiences.
And that's what people want.
That's what people fucking want. It's like these guys don't understand. Like that's the whole reasoning why people in the West like Japanese games, because of that unique vision, and their culture is fucking, you know, different than our own.
Remember that documentary you sent me, Manny, a few years ago about the rise of Japanese games in, like, the 2017? The Yakuza guy was actually surprised that Westerners wanted games to be Japanese. It's like, why would you be surprised? That's the reason we want these games. We don't want just cookie-cutter Western shit. We want what you guys do, you know?
Yeah.
Why the reason Japanese games started doing well. Because remember, the PS3 era was basically like the lost decade for fucking Japanese games because they were trying to emulate Western games, right? Then in 2015, 2017, you know, that era, they were like, let's just make Japanese games again. And they started doing well. Gee, what a surprise, you know?
Exactly.
Interesting. Right. You know,
I feel like they forgot that the most of the world grew up on Japanese video games.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, people like that culture.
It's, samurai, it's cool. Ninjas, you know, even if they were weirdly named for the West, we still grew up on that stuff. So yeah.
Remember also, American Ninja? That fucking movie.
Yeah, there's literally a whole series of ninja movies with a white guy in it.
Yeah, with a white guy, yeah.
I just gotta say, who's sitting at a desk going, no, people don't like ninjas?
And it's crazy. This is coming from the Japanese. They're the ones saying that. Oh, that's the Japanese. We Westerners won't understand.
They needed to watch G.I. Joe. If they would have watched G.I. Joe, they would have known.
Meanwhile, people are yelling till they're blue in the face. When there's going to be a new fucking Tenchu game?
Yeah, right. It's crazy. All right, and the last thing, no surprise here. We got a new God of War trailer for Ragnarok, and it looks pretty fucking cool. You know. That's what I said this on Twitter. I'm like, you know, I don't need to see any more trailers. I'm sold. Just give me the game. You know, it looks fucking legit. But we also got a cool controller out of the deal. You know, it looks cool. But
are you gonna buy it?
Is it like the Elite controller though?
Nah, it looks like
standard. If it's a regular, I don't need that shit. If it's a regular one, you know.
Nah, but it's got a Atreus on there.
No, it's got the wolves. Looks cool, but no, I the next PS controller I get is going to be the Elite one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, that's cool.
You know that scene, one of the last scenes with when he shoots the arrow in the sky. That shit.
It looks like you apparently you might have a control over time of day in that.
That'd be nice, you know.
Yeah, that looked interesting. So, yeah, I don't think they can show anything now that's like going to make people more hyped at this point. For the people that are excited about this game.
Yeah.
I would have to say.
Go ahead, Brian.
But, like, when I've seen those flying guys again, I'm like, oh, these guys are back.
The Valkyries?
No, not the Valkyries. The Bugmen.
Yeah,
those bug guys,
The elves, yeah.
I fucking hated those.
Yeah, they were annoying.
They're in a lot of video games, those types of things.
Yeah, they are
annoying. Even in the Halo, I fucking hate them.
Yeah, their whole purpose is to be annoying.
You know, it's easy to kill bugs because they're inhuman monsters.
All right, so that was State of Play. Eh, pretty decent. Pretty decent. Some good announcements here and there. Probably because of mostly Japanese games. we still got a couple Western ones. God of War, obviously. But, yeah, pretty decent State of Play. Sometimes they could be kind of shitty. This one seemed okay. That's good. I know, Manny, you didn't care for it. You thought it was crap.
I thought it was just like, whatever.
Yeah,
nothing there that really that really, I mean, other than the Yakuza game, but again, not, you don't need a PlayStation 5 to play that game. You don't need a PlayStation 5 to play God of War. So
true.
And I, to be honest, I know, you know, people are excited about that God of War game, but it kind of looks like just like the last one to me.
Uh-oh, don't say
I'm not
that.
I'm not seeing
David Jaffe caught flack over that, you know.
Oh yeah, what?
When he said the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the God of War 2.0. That's what.
Yeah,
it looks
yeah.
Like.
I saw I was telling Rich and Carlos when we were talking right after when we were talking about it. It's like I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna play it. It looks like more of the other one, which is fine. But I don't see anything that's gonna wow me. Like, oh, I've never seen this before. No, it's more of the same, which is fine.
Yeah. To be honest, it gave me more of the same. I'm happy. I love that game. Yeah. The game was great. Yeah. You know,
I feel like God of War is gonna hit a Gears of War type of thing right now. It's like, oh, all the games are really good, but like, and they're not moving the needle or anything. It's just really good.
Yeah, I don't know what else can do it. Like, and that's one of the things we had talked about. Like with the God of War, what really woke us up when we first started playing was those big monster battles. You know, when you're climbing this big colossus.
Yeah, it was crazy. Thing. Yeah,
it was like mind blowing the first time seeing it. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Now we see him like, okay, it's more of that. Okay, that's good. It looks beautiful and it's fun to do still, but it that wow is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's how it is, man. Going back to what we're talking about getting old, you know, these things don't impress you anymore. You know,
You've seen it all. And that was the question that we were asking. It was like, what could we possibly see? It's like, we don't know. It's got to be something that can surprise us. Then we don't.
Well, Adam, 44 minutes and 30 seconds. Gotta have something.
Eventually, one day.
All right, so that was the PlayStation recap. So now we're going to go switch gears to Nintendo. They had their Nintendo Direct. The day after, I believe, same day. You know, same day. Okay, so I'm reading this off of Destructoid again. If they miss something, blame them. Don't blame me. So I'm just gonna go literally whatever they wrote here. Fire Emblem Engage is the next mainline entry to Fire Emblem franchise, and it's coming January 23rd, 2023. Does anybody care for Fire Emblem?
No.
All right. No.
Okay. It Takes Two. Damn, they lost a lot of shit, didn't they? It Takes Two. Isn't that the game, Adam, you liked?
No.
Oh, you didn't like that
one? It was the one with the two guys, the prison one, which was a good one, A Way Out.
But it's the same developer, right?
Yeah. This one was, it's about the married couple, and they shrink down, and they had to work together because they were going through a divorce and that whole thing. So.
Okay. Well, the game's finally coming to Switch, so there you go. It's gonna have two-player local play across two Switch units. All right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Fatal Frame: Mask of the Lunar Eclipse is coming to the West in early 2023. I'm guessing there's a new game, not a remake or remaster.
I don't know.
This is a new one. Fatal Frame fans should be happy because those games have been missing in the West.
Yeah.
Nintendo's had them, but they the controversial one was the Wii one. They never released it here, and there was a lot of finger pointing and. Remember that whole debacle, so... Hey, now... Well,
wasn't it had something to do with the rights or something like that, too?
It was... I don't believe Nintendo in that part, because they blamed Koei, and it was like, no, it's...
You shouldn't believe Nintendo, period, you know?
Yeah, there was finger-pointing, and I was like, okay, if Nintendo's pointing fingers, I press X to doubt.
Press X to doubt. All right, next up, they showed some more... Xenoblade Chronicles 3 stuff. There's a new expansion coming October 13th, and there's going to be some more stuff coming next year. Does anybody play this game? Does anybody care?
Mm-mm, not really.
Because I see dudes on Twitter like, oh my god, this game! Like,
you're always going to find someone that
doesn't. No, everybody's fucking like
that. No, it's like that one guy who knows, the opening band. Who knows the opening band?
Yeah, no, but it's like more even probably. But you know, Rico, all right, let's fucking go. You know,
is Rico ready to Xeno?
Yeah, he is, man. He says, I think that's his game of the year, actually.
Oh, okay,
game of the year, baby.
Is the Xeno?
It's not Blade? Trails of Cold Steel.
Yeah, it's not Trails of Cold Steel. They didn't release one of those this year, so you know.
Yeah.
All right. What do we have next? SpongeBob SquarePants. Cosmic Shake arrives 2023.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Hey, guys!
I've never seen that show. I was already too old for that.
Hey, SpongeBob!
Fitness Boxing Fist of the North Star Edition? What?
Fitness boxing was very popular for them.
So are you just like...
Yeah, you move, it's a workout. It's like a workout.
Yeah,
I think that's a good game.
Okay, that's interesting.
But do you like blow up your opponent when you're done?
I will hope you do.
Okay. That's kind of interesting. Damn,
Fist of the North Star. I had that for the original Game Boy.
Oh, wow.
I had that Fist of the North Star game. I remember playing that.
Called the Fist of the North Star, I think. Or was
it? Nothing to bring. It was. That's how I remember it, the Fist of the North Star, because I remember looking at the little cover art on the card and like, damn,
cool. Little cartridges, remember them shit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, nothing to breathe life into a dying game like a 30-year-old anime.
You know? Fitness boxing, there you go. Octopath Traveler 2. Let's fucking go.
Oh, you gotta do it. You gotta come back.
No, I don't. I gotta get it on PC. Because it's coming to PC day one, so I'll get it that way. Man, you know why, right? Steam Deck 2. You know? So Steam I don't need no Switch. That shit.
You got a better Game Boy.
Right.
Yeah. Game Gear, sir. Oddballers is coming to Switch in 2023. I don't know what that is.
That's a dodgeball game.
Okay. Tunic will arrive on Nintendo Switch on September 27th. I guess this is the first time Tunic's on PlayStation.
It's just getting all the old shit.
Yeah.
Tunic's
been on Xbox
for a while. The Switch is just like a dumping ground. It's like,
Tunic's the mouse game, right?
It was an Xbox exclusive.
A little fox.
Okay, it's the fox. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm getting those two mixed up.
What was the fox saying?
Very many.
Front Mission 1 and 2 remakes are coming, so...
Oh, shit!
There you go, if you like Front Mission.
They're trying to make the stink of Left of Live get out of people's mouths.
Oh, man. Story of Seasons, A Wonderful Life is coming 2023.
That's Harvest Moon.
Is that what that is?
It's a Harvest Moon type of game.
Okay, no, whatever. By the way, I saw this one tweet. They were like, what if God of War was on Nintendo Switch? And they showed Kratos like... Kratos in his greatest adventure ever, and then they showed him like farming, blah, 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 you know, gaining points, making friends. God of Harvest, like, oh man. The next Splatoon 3 Splatfest will deal with gear. What is Splatoon 3? There you go, more shit.
Didn't it come out already, Splatoon 3?
Yeah, it came out during PAX, didn't it? I don't know.
What is the Splatfest? I don't know what this is. Whatever. Okay.
Sounds like a versus mode or something.
Yeah, maybe a tournament or something.
Right. Octopath, like we already discussed. Fae Farm, another farming simulator. But this time you use magic, it seems like. Okay.
Use magic to farm.
Nintendo Switch exclusive. Final Fantasy Thea Rhythm Final Bar Line will arrive in February. What the fuck is that?
Sounds like a rhythm game.
I guess it is. So, I don't know. Is that GoldenEye?
Yeah.
Oh, that's for Xbox. Hold on, I'm watching. The fuck is this?
It's coming for Switch also.
Oh, it's coming. Okay, gotcha.
The Switch Xbox is getting like the remaster, and then the other one, the one that's for the Switch.
The Switch is getting the N64.
Yeah, they're getting the N64 version.
Mario plus Rabbids, October 20th. That's coming. If you care about that, Rune Factory 3 Special is coming to Switch in 2023. I didn't know about Rune Factory 1 or 2.
Sequel.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Like Adam said, more Nintendo 64 games coming. Pilotwings 64, Mario 64, Mario Party 64, Mario Party 2, Mario Party 3, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2, 1080 Snowboarding Excite 64, and GoldenEye 64. Here's the interesting thing. Online play for Switch version, no online play for Xbox, which is a little weird, you know? Very interesting. Expect these to release slowly over the next months. No Genesis games. Womp womp.
No.
Various Daily Life. That's the name of a game. Various Daily Life will hit Switch today.
I don't know what it is.
Factorio and Ib were shown off briefly. I don't know what those are. Mario Strikers Battle League will get a second free update with Pauline and Diddy if you care for that. Atelier Ryza 3. They made 3 of these fucking games already?
Mm-hmm.
Brian, so that's the one with the girl, right? You know, with the...
Yep.
You know, with the shorts, I should say. The shorts.
Yes, you know? That is the third one in the... I guess the...
I guess the first two did really well, or there's just a high demand for that character, which I don't know why.
It's amazing what how far you get, Brian, with just showing off a little bit of thigh. Just not too much, just a little, you know?
Yeah, if only certain devs could learn that and implement it. Who knows?
Yeah, interesting. So so I guess this is the first time it's coming to Switch, Brian?
No, it started out on Switch.
Oh, it did? Oh, well, interesting.
First one was on Switch, and then got to PC and everywhere else.
Ah, okay, good stuff. We got two quick looks at two tracks from Wave 3 from the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. They're still making shit for this game? Jesus. A Wii U game.
No, it,
yeah.
No, but don't you remember they did that season pass? They have like
yeah, but they still got content coming out for yeah. this game. Yeah. Like 8-9 years.
They haven't released it. Well, it's all old stuff though. They're releasing all the old tracks. They released a tour, right? That was the first batch that had Paris and all those other ones. And then now we're getting all the other tracks from the older games that have been enhanced.
Yeah. So Blitz or Tubeki goes, LOL, the lack of interest in anything Nintendo renders these conversations pointless on here. Hey, we got to do the recap though, bro. That's what we do, you know.
Yeah, man,
that's what we do.
No stone unturned.
Exactly. But your point is understood. Nintendo Switch Sports, whatever.
whatever.
Pikmin 4 is finally confirmed for 2023. Okay. Just Dance 2023. These games keep coming, you know. We got to see some of the Harvest. How many of these Harvest games does Nintendo make? Jesus.
Natsumi. They just publish tons of these.
Yeah, Harvestella. What the fuck?
Yeah, they make success on one of them, and they just keep pumping that shit out.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
But they're third party. That's third party. That's not Nintendo making them.
Anyway, Brett, you say, can you just say what?
Oh, can I just say, like, I think it might be about time for Nintendo to just become a developer.
We've been saying that.
Oh, wait, what? What? Wait, what?
Yeah, you stop doing hardware, you know. But we'll get to that point in a bit after we talk about Zelda, because I got things to say, as I usually. Nintendo showed off some Bayonetta 3 footage. Chris, there you go. Go off. Why is this on an old ass console that can't handle it? You know.
Yeah, it just looks terrible. The trailers they showed, I'm like, wow, this looks like crap.
Terrible.
And imagine, it looks, I looked at it and I was like, that looks worse than when I played the first one on 360. That's how bad it looks.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe somebody's like, you crazy. No, I'm serious. Like, I played the first one on 360 back in the day and it looked better than this.
Of course. Of course.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like the whole thing with them hogging. I don't care what they're giving Sega. Sega got a raw deal on this exclusivity for this game.
Yeah, because now you, like, oh my god, like, yeah, you could only play Bayonetta 2 on Switch, and now this, it's a shame, you know?
Yeah.
All right, what are we up to here? Master Detective Archives. I'm not even going to bother. I don't know what the fuck that is. Resident Evil Village Cloud Edition.
Oh, yo, I have a story about that.
Go ahead.
So after the direct, right, Kristen went and tried it, the demo. It's running off the cloud. Yo, she came in, I'm working, she comes up, and she's like, this game's run like shit. And she's like, it's like, imagine walking around in molasses. That's what this felt like. I couldn't aim at anything. She went off. She was like ranting. She's like, this is total trash. They're going to charge $40. So she had a whole rant about that. The cloud stuff is still not ready. It's no good. Never was. You want to play Resident Evil Village on the go? Get yourself a Steam Deck.
Yeah. Exactly. You know? Just don't bother with third-party games on Switch, seriously. All right, what do we have here? Speaking about third-party games, Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion. Buy that on a real console. Don't buy it on this.
Yeah, you can buy. You can even buy it on a PSP or Vita.
Yeah. Oh, look at this! Radiant Silver Gun is coming to Switch to the eShop. Cool. Remember that old shoot 'em up game? That was cool. Yeah. Endless Dungeon is coming to Switch later next year. Okay. Tales of Symphonia Remaster. Does anyone play this on something else? Like, what do you need this for? You know? A sizzle reel for Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection. Romancing Saga Remastered. Lego Brick Tales, Disney Speedstorm, and Fall Guy Season 2. All right. Kirby's Return to Dreamland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time to return.
Okay. And then the last thing, obviously, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which is a sequel to Breath of the Wild. And everything Chris just said about Bayonetta being on, you know, Switch, same thing with this. Like, you saw this trailer, it looked terrible. Here's the thing, the original Breath of the Wild looked pretty fucking bad already, you know, but this, ugh, you know, what are we doing here? Like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a huge seller, obviously, but it's insulting that Nintendo peddles this shit to gamers, you know? Dated ass fucking hardware with dated ass fucking gameplay graphics. Like, who wants this, you know? Like, yeah, like, bro, I got a Steam Deck now. Why are you insulting me with this shit, you know?
It's true. I have a couple things to say. So the release date is May 12th next year, right?
Yes, yes.
So this misses the fiscal year window. Remember I said, like, if they want to kind of balance out this fiscal year, they have to release Breath of the Wild 2 on either the anniversary of when the first one came out, but before their calendar ends, before the fiscal calendar ends, they have to release, get some of those numbers up in there so that they could boost their profile, right? For investors. That's not going to happen. So they don't have that. They have to lean on Pokemon again for this holiday, and I don't know whatever else they have before the end of the year. I have no idea. But the other thing is, like, I'm like, why is this game taking so long? Like, if you look at it, they have the pretty much the same map. They've built a map, and they have an overworld. It's this whole sky thing. And I think that's it. So I'm like, what is it that is taking them so long? And so I put my tinfoil hat on, and I started thinking about it. And I think that some of the mechanics they're introducing were either meant for, they were kind of banking either on a Switch Pro being released, so some of their mechanics could work better and the game could run at a higher resolution, or they are having difficulty getting a lot of these mechanics to work properly or even work at a decent frame rate. So they may look bad, right? Mm. So they've been trying to fix them. And that's where the delays are coming from. So take your pick, whichever one you think is. If you think I'm crazy and there's no Switch Pro, fine. Maybe there's an issue with some of the mechanics, like him phasing through walls and ceilings and all this stuff. Maybe transitioning from the overworld to the ground was not working well. Who knows? I mean, they introduced these big mechanics, and you know the Switch doesn't have a lot of memory, so trying to transition from a big overworld map to another big overworld map is not easy. And so that could be it, but it could have been also I'm still thinking the Switch Pro is a thing, so I'm like, maybe they were trying to get this in and the Switch Pro would be ready and this would be the flagship title and it would have all these enhancements and run so well on the new hardware, and that didn't happen, so they had to scale it back, and that takes time.
Yeah, so no, you could be right. So, because something's obviously up here, you know. But yeah. Anyway,
I think Nintendo's just running out of runway, and they know it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Would you guys think of this direct? It's another one of these. Again, as usual, when it comes to these directs, boring as hell. But then, you know, the fans on Twitter, oh my god, the greatest thing ever! Nintendo's doing it.
Like I said, you know, people love that mediocrity.
Amazing, you know.
The reason I said that is, like, this Nintendo Direct really made me realize, like, dude, you just really need to go publisher. I mean, it's definitely with the Steam Deck out, but even without the Steam Deck, like, man, like, Nintendo is proving that without a Switch Pro, they are just perfectly content to lag behind. The problem with that, they can be fine with that all day long. They always have they're reaching the point where they are holding games like Bayonetta prisoner, yeah, where they could be so much more successful. Even their own franchise could be so much more successful if they weren't just locked down to their own system. And then, yeah, you can't have this conversation without bringing Steam Deck into it, because I have never seen one system assassinate another one so fucking thoroughly in my entire goddamn life.
Yeah, we definitely need a Switch Pro. Because
I don't even know if you can do a Switch Pro anymore. Steam's already done it. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? Reinvent the wheel again? Try and Blue Ocean this shit one more time?
I mean, Nintendo needs something that's better hardware than what they released. I mean, what they released wasn't even 2017 hardware. It was older hardware.
Yeah, it was dated when it released. You know,
that said this on Throwdown. Yeah. We were talking about that, using the old Tegra. Yeah. When there was a better Tegra at the time and they didn't use that. And mm-hmm. and Manny always brings this up. They're the kings of using cheap hardware because they're trying to keep the cost down. But then what do they sacrifice? Power.
Yeah.
Always.
And that's why you get these games that just look like shit, you know?
And just to echo what Tony mentioned with because who cares about the rest of the direct?
Yeah,
honestly,
for me, trash.
Do you want Harvest Moon? Harvest Moon.
Let's go. You know,
the only thing that I care about is Zelda, and you know it's been dwaning over the past years. But I was a huge Zelda fan, and like Tony mentioned, this game looks like the best analogy that I can give it is it looks like.
Ass.
It doesn't look like a flagship Zelda game. It looks like a Zelda game that would come out on the handheld version of, you know, like for example, if it's during the Wii U or the Wii days, it would be the 3DS version of Zelda.
Yeah.
And then the Wii would have something like Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword. But this it doesn't look that good, and it's not going to look that good on my TV. But it sucks, man, because I know that the developers are quality developers, and whenever this game does release, it'll run fine, but it doesn't, you know, it's not going to push anything, you know, it's just going to look kind of choppy, and that's what I mentioned about the last one. The last one, when it came out, I played it after, fucking Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
And Horizon Zero Dawn might have not have been a better game, per se.
It's beautiful looking.
It sure as fuck looked better, you know.
Yeah. It looked ridiculously better.
You come off one of the best looking games of that generation and immediately go to one of the, oh god, that was a horrible transition, you know. I echo everything you said. You know, I feel so bad for Nintendo fans. Like that, they must not know any better, that they just accept this stuff and they think it's great. Like, you guys are getting the worst of the worst. Terrible graphics.
I don't think it's that, Tony. I think it's context, right? Like, I think a lot of Nintendo fans, and even, you know, that when I've, you know, kind of been on the Nintendo train myself, like, you don't really think of it in comparison to the other system.
That's the only way it can work, because if you see the other consoles, how can you think that what Nintendo's offering you is better? So try to explain that to me, because I don't get it at all. You have way, obviously, demonstrably better consoles out there, better graphical fidelity and all that, and you have this shit, like, console. Like, I don't get it, you know?
That's why Steam Deck is such a huge deal, man. Like,
yeah, because it looks better, you know?
Well, not just that, but, like, for a long time, you're like, yeah, it's a form factor, and it's a way to play, right? Like, an approach, a lifestyle of how you play games can really be accommodated by a Switch. Like, if you're not a power gamer, if you're more into, like, kind of light games, if you sometimes play mobile games, it's more of a, you know, a toy thing. It's got a fun factor. You bring it around with you. It's your trusty little sidekick, right? Like, especially if you're a kid or a teenager, maybe you don't always have command of a TV or something like that. This is the thing that you bring around with you. You identify with it. It becomes kind of like your phone is, you know, an analog to your computer. This is kind of an analog to video games. The problem with that is when Steam Deck came out, it demonstrably showed you don't have to be limited by this form factor, by this approach. And that's why I say, like, Nintendo is kind of in trouble now, because they can either continue to do what they do worse, put out a version of the Steam Deck that's still worse, and, like, their whole selling point of rooftop parties, it's going out the window, man. Like, they're not the only ones that can provide rooftop. And although it was never about rooftop parties, it was just kind of having your own personal screen that you could also play video games on, because, like, you can watch Netflix on your tablet or whatever. Like, you've been able to, like, chill in your room if you got roommates and binge all you want. But, like, personal screen for video games, aside from a gaming laptop, wasn't so much a thing. And Nintendo did a good job of tapping into that. The problem with that is they tapped into it with such mediocrity that they allowed anybody to just run up on them and show them who's boss. And that's exactly what the fuck happened here. So, like, now Nintendo is staring down the okay, so what do you do? Like, you're not even really married to the form factor anymore. This is the dual system. This is just a Game Boy. You've clearly given up on the fact that this is a console. And this is just a Game Boy.
It's insane. Anyway, I don't want to talk about Nintendo anymore. So let's move on here. Xbox. Let's talk about some Xbox. Yeah. What's up?
Well, I wanted to ask, and Chris will be the one to answer this probably, like, why is Nintendo so insistent on holding themselves to their poor hardware when they could just, they're not making money off the systems, really? Like, why do they not just outsource them? Why do they not just turn it in and become a developer? Isn't it more financially responsible to do so at a certain point?
Well, you could argue that, and we've argued that before. Back when the Switch was coming out and Tony and I completely bashed it, and we made the prediction that it would fail, which was wrong.
You're very wrong, yeah.
In Nintendo's DNA, they are a toy maker, right? They make physical media. They make, in Japan, they've made tons of stuff like playing cards and Ultra Hand and gimmicky stuff like that. So in their blood is this need to make physical things. And so the problem is that, you know, with especially with Japanese companies and traditionalism, they will never relent on that. Right, they have made their systems. They can constantly hang their hat on. They pulled the video game market out of the crash of '83 and all that stuff. They will never let that go. So they constantly have that thought, like, "Oh, we lead the industry in whatever. We're worldwide." Okay, sure, but that's not so true anymore. But they think it is, but they do have key brands, right? So they'll always tout, like, Mario is one of the most recognizable brands in the world, and he's more recognizable than Mickey Mouse. But then you'd argue, so why not put him on every system? Why not just have Super Mario Odyssey or whatever on Xbox and PlayStation, whatever, like Sonic is, and just do that? And you could have it on better hardware, and you wouldn't have to worry about your hardware limitations. You could put on anything. And they'll never do it because, A, they lose control of it at that point, right? Once you put it on PC... That's it. You can mod Mario, you can mod Zelda, and that would make they would just ignite. Like, they would literally start catch on fire if that happened. Like, they will never do that, right? They cannot let go of their IPs and stuff like that. And if they put their IPs on other systems, then they're almost admitting defeat, right? And then losing control of it, especially if you put it on PC. That's it. Like, anything goes after that, so they'll never do.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Xbox TGS. So they actually talked about some stuff at TGS today. So let's see what they talked about. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle and Guilty Gear Strive coming to Xbox consoles. Were they not on Xbox before?
Nope, they were PlayStation exclusives.
Wow, cool. Wow,
that's a big deal.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Oh, look at this. Both Ni No Kuni games are coming to Xbox.
And both including Game Pass to PlayStation.
Game Pass, yeah. Game Pass. Let's fucking go.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. But, hey, Uncle Phil, where you at, man? Japanese games.
Is Uncle Phil, like, sneaking into PlayStation and, like, coming out with a burlap sack full of old games and shit?
It looks like it. Here's another old game, Danganronpa V3. I guess that's a new one coming to Game Pass. So if you like Danganronpa. I don't even know if I'm saying that right.
Danganronpa.
Danganronpa. Danganronpa. You know? Overwatch 2 Kirko. Gets a game. I don't know what that is.
It's Overwatch 2, isn't it?
Here it is. Wulong the Fallen Dynasty. That's the game we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, we got a developer diary. Brian, you have any thoughts on that?
I didn't know, but it's a good thing either way. It's nice that it's still in progress. The one thing that I'm still waiting for news on is Lost Soul Aside. It's been like 5 years since we got any news on that game.
Oh shit. That game came out, didn't it? Like, on something?
No.
At all? Because that title's been floating around forever. You know?
Yes.
Wow.
It was announced years ago, so hence I'm like we still haven't got anything on Lost Soul Aside. So I don't know what's going on with that game. But yeah, the Wukong game, great.
Good stuff.
Yeah, just great.
Yeah. Next up here, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is coming to Game Pass. Okay.
Cool. Origins is already on there. The enhanced versions.
Now here we go with the interesting stuff. Deathloop is coming to Game Pass on September 20th. Pretty much a year after PlayStation.
As we said.
Yep.
We said that. Limited exclusivity.
Yeah. Also, I'm reading this from all. What site is it? Altar. Anyway, so they go, additionally, Microsoft Gaming Head Phil Spencer was also present at the show, revealing that Xbox has been growing throughout Asia, mainly thanks to the Xbox Series S, as we've reported on before. Half of the console sales have gone to first-time Xbox owners. That is interesting, which shows that Xbox is slowly but surely gaining ground in Asia. Cool. Good stuff.
Well, we know that because nobody bought the other consoles. Remember, they always had poor sales. So yeah, these are all first timers.
Yeah, and Xbox, you know, always committed, you know, reiterating their support for Asia. You know, interesting games coming. Good stuff. Good stuff. Xbox.
So Phil having his weeb moment.
Exactly. You know, definitely.
And those are interesting numbers, though.
Yeah, they are. Half the people who bought an Xbox are new players.
I'd be curious to see, like, I know we never will, but I'd be curious to see Microsoft's statistics thinking about that, because they actually have to know, because, you know, most of us have our history or old gamer has, like, I took a 10-year break from Microsoft. I bet you they know I was an old customer that left for 10 years and came back. Like, I'd like to see the metrics on that. Know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that'd be interesting.
People left and when they came back.
Brett, they're watching you.
Damn. All right, yeah, that's interesting. Moving on here. Hold on. Hey, Brian.
Oh.
What up?
I'm curious about Lost Soul aside. Apparently, there was an 18-minute gameplay trailer that came out last year.
Yeah. Again, it's just that there's just been nothing about it since. Because,
okay, got you.
Like, I ran this game back, I think, in 2015, 13 days. And it's like, this was back when it was still announced for PC only, and just the one guy developing it is hype. And then there was news that, okay, it's coming to PlayStation 4, and then PS5 came out, nothing, so hence just nothingness.
That's the one that everybody thought looked like a Final Fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last update here is from May 2022, this year, where the developer talks about what it's like making the game for PS5. Okay, and just his thoughts on the console. So it's still in development, you know. But May 2022 is not that far off, Brian. So there are some updates here and there. Interesting. All right, moving on here. Now just some, like, bits of news here and there. Sony has said that it makes no sense to remove Call of Duty from... Microsoft said that, right? Hold on, let me... Sony giving Microsoft control of Activision games like Call of Duty has major negative implications, and Microsoft said it makes zero sense for Microsoft to remove Call of Duty from PlayStation given its market-leading console position. So that's Microsoft saying that, for the moment at least, right?
Yeah, for the moment.
But this is Microsoft's response to, you know, Jim Ryan being all salty. You know, like, we're gonna lose Call of Duty, you know? I just imagine him like fucking, what's his face, oh my god, I'm blanking on his name. The Russian dude beats his shoe at the UN. Gorbachev. Not Gorbachev. You know what I'm talking about. World
Lenin.
War. Yeah, no, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, Khrushchev? Yeah,
Khrushchev, thank you.
Oh, Khrushchev.
Yeah, Jim Ryan just reminded me of Khrushchev. You know,
he's gonna get Kasparov. I was like, that's a chess player.
okay, so that's just a follow up on that. I still think after those 3 years, Adam, what the hell are you doing making all that noise?
I got stuff going on here.
I'm still your robot.
Anyway, so again, we'll see what happens after, I guess, 6 years, actually, because the Activision deal expires in 3 years. And Sony said they promised at least 3 years after that. You know, Microsoft promised that to Sony, and after that, we'll see what happens. But I still think it would be in Microsoft's best interest to lock that shit down.
I don't understand why people are talking about this. They're like, look, Microsoft already told you they have 3 years. And then they'll see what happens, which means they have 3 years, and then they're going to phase it out. Simple as that, man.
Yeah, but, you know, people don't like to accept it. Remember the whole Bethesda thing?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the problem here, is that people don't want to accept it and that they're angry about it, which I don't fucking understand.
Well, you know, the writing's on the wall anyway, so.
They don't want anything.
You know, enjoy it. Enjoy it while you got it.
That's it.
Yeah, but anybody who speaks corporate, they've told you very loud and clear how this shit's about to go down.
Yeah, and even them not saying how it's going to go down, we know is how it's going to go down. That shit's going to Xbox. That's it.
But here's the deal. You're going to see if you see major exclusivity, it's going to be way late in this generation, but realistically, it's probably going to be launching in the next time. Next gen is going to be this is your Call of Duty console.
Yeah, no, right? if anything, it won't be done in this generation. What they'll do is they'll do that part of it. And the beginnings of that will be, well, after, you know, Sony's deal ends, it will be the idea like, oh, it's still on PlayStation, but all those commercials will just say Xbox, won't they?
Yeah, that's right, they're going to give you a chance to migrate. Like, they're not going to try and get you to migrate systems 3/4 of the way through a generation. Right? They're smarter than that. Their salespeople are smarter than that. They're going to slow. They're going to say everything's fine, and then like towards the tail end of this generation, they're like, I mean, things may not be fine soon. So like, I don't know. Just think about what console you want to buy next time. You know, do you want to buy the one that owns Call of Duty? Just saying. And then when they're going to launch the next one, they're going to launch with either an exclusive Call of Duty or exclusive content, and it'll just go from there. But they're going to give you a gentle and convenient opportunity to jump ship. If you're chasing your Call of Duty, nobody's going to take it away from you.
I think the Call of Duty Warzone will always be on there because they want that on everything. They just announced that it's coming to mobile now. So that's all about making money. So yeah, you'll have a Call of Duty on a PlayStation. It'll be Warzone. And for many people, that'll be just fine because a lot of people, they said 128 million across all platforms daily play Warzone. That's ridiculous. And I guess that's why Ryan is freaking out. Because he was like, that's a lot of money that they make just from the microtransactions for all the little tchotchkes that people buy from that shit.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're right. So there you go. This one is kind of big, this next news story. Because we've been saying this needs to happen. And it finally happened. Bonnie Ross has left 343 Industries. Crazy, right? We've been saying that she kind of needs to go. Because like, ultimately,
I'm so surprised by this. When I saw this, I couldn't understand why you were surprised.
Because we were literally talking about this just last week after all
this. But we expected this. I don't think anyone was like, this can never happen.
No one ever said that. But it did come out of the blue, you know?
Yeah, because it came out of circumstances not in her control.
Exactly.
If I'm not mistaken.
But here's the interesting thing about that. So she said that she had to leave because of some family issues. But here's, no one's talking about this. She said that she had wanted to stay with the franchise until the winter update, but has to leave earlier. So she was going to leave regardless. No one's talking about that part, you know? Mm-hmm. Either way, she was gone. Like, she left earlier because of her family issues, whatever they may be. But she said, I'm quoting here, wanted to stay until the winter update. That means she was going to be gone after the winter.
But they told me they wanted me out, and they got rid of me quicker. There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's the other prevailing theory to going around, that Microsoft's like, nope, you're gone. You're gone. Yeah,
Of course. We hear this all the time. We especially hear this from politicians all the time. Oh, I'm stepping away to spend time with my family. That's a bullshit.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Stop using that as a...
Yeah. That's where I'm kind of leaning towards, Adam. I think that's what actually happened, you know?
When Adam said, I have to step down from Throwdown because I got COVID. I'm like, that's some bullshit.
There you go, right? Fucking COVID. What's that? Make believe. Nobody gets that shit.
You're all fucked up for a month, you know?
There you go.
All right. So, yeah, Bonnie Ross, you know, good luck. Good luck to her. Now, obviously, they have a new studio head and all that. Hopefully, this all works out. You know,
but the thing about it is, like, I don't know. How do we even know that a changing of the guard will even change things for the better?
Going the same route was not going to help either. You know,
I know. The thing is that, but you also got to understand, like, she's not the only one that could be telling them to do things.
Yeah,
you know, like, it could be stuff coming from up top. Uh-oh. You know, a lot of these situations are too many cooks in the kitchen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how many people left?
People from the top telling them how they should and shouldn't do things. I don't, you know, I know people were looking for a sacrificial lamb, but I don't think it's only just that something that she was doing. I think
she was one of the last because all the other higher-ups already had left after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. People keep forgetting. There was already a mass exodus after the whole thing.
She was the highest of the highest.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is no different than we see from soccer or any other sport team. When the team starts sucking, what do? You get rid of the coach, right? Coach comes in. What does he normally do? He brings in his own staff, his peoples. He has ideas of other players to get. Maybe whoever they bring in comes from one of these other studios that they just bought. And it's like, hey, listen, I got Jimmy and Tana and blah, 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 blah. These people over here I could bring in and we could fix this shit. It's like, all right, do it. So that's what you hope for.
This is something that I sent mentioned on Twitter. This is not guaranteed that Halo is going to get better.
No.
It could actually get worse.
It could get worse. But the thing is, going in the trajectory we're going on, it's not going to help matters, you know?
Yeah. So we need a change. I mean, we might still need more change, but yeah. I mean, I feel hopefully, you know, everything's okay with Bonnie Ross's family. But I do feel like what you guys are mentioning. You know, there were signs that I think she was going to step down, and she even mentioned in her note. And this is her just, you know, I guess leaving in with. I don't know if dignity is the right word. What do people say? It's like, instead of getting fired, it's like, you know, I'm leaving on my own terms.
Yeah.
So I think that's
a good word for it, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully this changes something with Halo. Phil Spencer needs to light a fire on the asses of 343. Well, he needs to do that too. But yeah, he needs to do something to 343 so they can start developing Halo the way that Halo deserves to be developed as a franchise that, you know,
flagship franchise.
I think it's also sort of a rock and a hard place situation, man. Like, you know, when you have all the people, the crux of the people that really made Halo what it was, not there, and time after time they release a new Halo game, and it's just a lesser than the last. I almost feel like, in general, I think, you know, if this doesn't go the way, if they're not able to turn this ship around, Halo's going on a hiatus.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it's not even like they need to reach the highs or do what Bungie did with Halo. They just need to make a good game. And they've had trouble doing that. They had trouble even releasing a complete game. So, you know, the things with 343 just goes far beyond just doing a game that is good at this
point. I mean, like, that's also a nebulous term. Release a good game, you know. What does that mean? You know, if it means releasing original Halo, then that game might seem outdated. Halo 2, that might seem outdated. So you're saying... Again, I like to say that is even just sort of a nebulous term. What does that mean? What does new Halo mean?
Well,
new,
I mean, that's
Halo,
it's
and you.
It,
you yeah, well, no, what is, like, you know, a new Halo? Like, in other words, we you know, they obviously said that they're trying to harken back to the original Halo, and that was something that didn't work out so well for this one.
It's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to do it, right?
Yeah.
To succeed at it. So, one thing we always note here, we've always pointed it out, is, and I always say this, like, people want Applebee's, right? They don't like change. They want the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, if you give them the same thing, they'll usually be happy. But what is the same thing? You're asking 343, hey, do what Bungie did, right? And keep doing it. And that's a hard ask. Especially, it's just like, even if you pull in talent, can you coalesce them into making and having the kind of spirit and the drive that Bungie had for that game? And now we know the answer to that was no.
Yeah.
So you can say, like, hey, we're harking back to the original Halo. You didn't make that game. You don't know what went into it, right? You're just looking at it and going, okay, these are the things people like, so let's try to replicate it. But then you have directives and you have suits stepping in and all this shit, and they have expectations, and they're to them a good game, like, these check boxes, you have to meet those expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess, you know, you get to the point where, what's the point of naming it Halo, you know? But also, you are stuck in a rock and a hard place where you need to sort of progress what Bungie gave to you. And supposed to do something of your own, but still not, you know, bastardize the franchise where it doesn't feel like it's a Halo game, where it makes no point to even name it Halo other than to just get the people and the money.
I feel like that's what the whole Spartan Locke deal was. was them trying to clear the slate and not live up to Master Chief, you know? Like, okay, we have our new character now, and we're going to try to do that. But I feel like even that ended up shooting them in the foot, because it's like, what is Halo? Well, Halo is pretty much Master Chief. Well, yeah, with the exception of the two games, what was it, the ones that didn't have him in at all?
Reach and ODST.
But those were made by the originals. Those were made by Bungie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, we've seen Halo games that didn't have Master Chief that were successes. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that 343 can't make a game that's good enough to entice the masses. You can make an Arbiter game and make a good one and it could sell, but it the onus is on the developer to make something that's compelling and that works. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're using Master Chief is a handicap that they're using, because they can't make a game that lives up to the standards of the fans. So they have to, cherry pick on the Master Chief's lore and name and character to
harp on it.
It's kind of like what do you call that? Oh my god! When you're watching an anime and they throw a lot of stuff that people just love because, oh
fan service.
Fan service. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two different kinds of fan service. There's a fan service that, it's like, hey, give fans what they want, and then fan service is, here's titties.
Yeah. And that's what Master Chief is. He's titties.
Oh man. All right, moving on. I kinda nixed a couple of stories here, so this will be the last one. But very interesting. Sony will no longer be the only main developer charging you $70 for AAA games. Ubisoft is joining the pack now, baby. Let's go.
Yep. Hey, give me that money.
Give me that money. Give me the money, you stupid American. We do not have enough frogs to eat in France. We need more money.
I mean, to be honest, they would be the ones to do that, especially since they're supposedly running through these hard times, so...
Okay, so now I got to say, to all the people who are like, it's just Sony doing it, and it's okay if Sony does it because they put out really high-quality first-person games.
But who said that? EA was doing it. EA's been charging $70.
EA has been too, but...
That's it's been happening. I mean, even at the Call of Duty last year, that was $70. So I don't... they don't play other official games.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that true though? Are the games now automatically more quality because they're more expensive? Going by the logic of the fanboys, they are, right? They're just automatically better games.
But that applies to everything in life. I mean, colleges, right? They've said it. It was like a college. I heard this report about Rice College, and it was a very good college, a lot of great professors, and tuition was very low, and nobody would go. That's once they raised the tuition, everybody started showing up.
Yeah,
it costs more, and so it must be good. We see that with clothes, right? Yeah. When you're paying really for the brand name, the quality is just the same as the fucking knockoffs or cheap ass shit in Old Navy.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's all it is. People are fucking dumb, man. They're fucking dumb. But yeah, Ubisoft is getting into the game, and I'm pretty sure others will. I mean, we already have some of them, right? EA was one of the first to actually do it, but then they kind of scaled shit back a little bit.
They scaled shit back when people started complaining, but now it's okay, right?
Well, that's the thing. They can't say nothing because they're going to look like hypocrites after saying, mm-hmm. The Last of Us deserves to be $70. That is a quality game. I need to pay more for it. This is how stupid people are.
No. See, and that's a whole other thing, because that's an old game. That's not even new.
No, but people are legit saying that. Like, this is a quality game. I'm honored to pay $70. How stupid are you to say that?
People are going out of their way to defend their right to pay more for the same product.
It's amazing.
Sounds like a show to me.
Yeah, that's the other thing Torrance is ranting about. What the fuck? What the fuck, man? Torrance, man. All right.
Yeah. So now that everybody is just going to accept it, and now $70 is the new standard for video game. Like, what y'all got to
say? Brett, wait. There's still one company that's not charging $7 for their exclusives.
Nintendo? Xbox.
Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft, they ain't. Microsoft, mm-hmm. Ooh, you're right about the end. Here's the thing with Microsoft. It, like, how could they successfully pull that off? It's like, okay, give us $7. People are like, but I could just subscribe to your service, bro, for $15 a month.
And that, then the response is, yeah, you could.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do that. Then go ahead. Sub up.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's exactly what we want you to do.
Yeah. Yeah, Xbox ain't charging you no $70. And I doubt they will. So, you know.
I mean, you know, if you think about it, like, you know, if we want to get into semantics here, you know, I know Halo, I know people aren't unhappy with Halo, but that game was a $60 game.
Yeah.
That's a lot for $60.
I don't even know anybody but that bought
you
that
just
Halo.
Pay get for Game Pass. You don't need to pay $60.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't, when all the buddies jump back in, when we all jump back on for Halo, not a single person bought it. It was all through Game Pass.
Yeah, that's it. You don't need to buy that.
Yeah, you know? No one bought
it. It's working.
Yeah, yeah, it is. All right. Another good show. Another good show. Do we have anything to... Actually, no. Before that, for the guys, you know, the fans... For Sunday, ask us TGS questions. Because remember, the show was just started, so there's probably going to be a lot more shit. So ask us some TGS stuff and anything else you want us to talk about, you know, with the PlayStation and Nintendo Directs, all that good stuff. A lot of gaming stuff going on, so feel free to ask us about that. But with that said, do we have anything to plug around here? You
know? Nope.
All right, Adam, got anything? The Walking Dead?
Yeah, we did the final episode of Tales of the Walking Dead. So that's I Am Negan. That's over on iTunes and Spotify and, of course, YouTube and the Coalition with a K. So we covered that and gave our impressions overall of the first and hopefully the last season for Tales of the Walking Dead. And that was it. Myself, Rich Bailey Jr., and Carlos. Yes. So we're looking forward. We got, three more weeks before Walking Dead proper part three.
The mothership.
Yeah, the mothership comes to an end, so we get those final eight episodes. So if you're interested in Walking Dead, check it out. I Am Negan. That's it.
Good stuff, man. All right, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. Throwdown Show is on every podcast app you can think of. Throwdown Show towards Throwdown Show. Again, we are newly enshrined within Samsung's podcast. We didn't know that was a thing. But yeah, we're part of Samsung Podcast if you want to listen to us on your Samsung device. I'm assuming that's how that works. Samsung devices. ThrowdownShow.com.
You're good.
Yeah. ThrowdownShow.com, past episodes, you already know. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified. Also, again, apologies for some of the lip syncing. YouTube is being fucking stupid. You know,
did it happen again?
No, it didn't happen again. But the episode finally finished processing, and it's still fucked up. You know, and the thing is, I can't upload another version of it. You know, because then we're gonna lose all the hits. So, it is what it is, man. Some bullshit. Anyway, links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time,
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Manjoma.
Man, the more you play Saints Row, the worse it gets.
Oh, man. Yeah. And shout out to Chancleta Mangu, who just showed up as we're wrapping up. What's going on, Armando? You got to hang out, brother. All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Remember, give us those TGS, Nintendo Direct, and PlayStation State of Play questions, man. Later.
Ladies.
Ladies.
Jesus.